What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Alex Da Silva Podcast. We hope you are well and having an amazing day, afternoon, evening, wherever you are in the world. And welcome to another episode. Remember to like, subscribe, and leave a comment on whatever platform you're listening. Now, let's get on with the show with your host, Alex Da Silva.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome to another episode. Today, I have Sharon with me. I'm going to let her tell you this story. We've been talking probably for about 10 minutes before I hit record. And I said to Sharon, I need to hit record because we're going to do a whole hour, 2 hours. And I'm going to forget to actually record the episode. But Sharon, welcome to the show. I'm really looking forward to speaking to you today. How are you?
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's an honor. It really is. And you're amazing. And I'm doing very well. Thank you.
Good. What blew my mind about your story is you've had 4 near-death experiences. You've been struck by lightning 4 times. And just reading your story is mind-blowing. You know, I've gotten into near-death experiences. As we were talking just before I hit record, you know, I've done breath work. I've done, you know, shamanic ceremonies. You know, I hold space now. I'm very grateful to be able to do that. And I think as we go into this spiritual journey, what I've started to discover is how the near-death experience journeys and the breathwork, ceremony, psychedelic experiences are so similar. And it just sparked, you know, a real interest in me. And you were going to touch on something about near-death experiences and, you know, shamanic ceremony. So talk us through that, because that's something I really want to listen to before we get into your story.
Well, as I told you, this is a rare thing that happens, and it's an extension of the near-death experience. It doesn't happen to everybody. I do know of several people that it has happened to, but the only way that I can explain it is I came after my lightning strike when there was, and this is important too, there was 4 lightning strikes and 4 near-death experiences, but this particular story or experience happened after my second one, which was the biggest and deepest and longest one I had. Mm-hmm. And it was funny because when I was a little girl, I could see people. I could see, and I used to get made fun of because I would see people and they would think I had imaginary friends or whatever. And it's like, no, that's, you know, I was too young to be able to explain to people what I was seeing and what these people, who these people were. But anyway, I remember we lived in Ohio and we had a beautiful little ranch type house. Mm-hmm. And there was a golden wheat field behind our house. And I was so mesmerized by that golden wheat field. I loved it. Played in it all the time. But I remember 2 occasions when I was sitting on the back porch or in the backyard playing, and I saw a Native American man on a white horse. And the first time I saw him, he was just, I didn't know he was a spirit at the time. I thought because he was solid like you and or me. And so I'm sitting there playing and I see this beautiful man on this horse, you know, and he's just riding through the wheat field. He looks over at me, but he doesn't say anything. And I thought, wow, he's so beautiful, you know, but to me, he was just a man riding a horse, you know, no big deal. Well, a few days later, I'm sitting in the patio. My dad was building a screened in back porch. And he had just laid the patio. So I'm sitting on the patio playing and I see the man again. And this time he notices that I'm watching him. And so he comes over to me with his horse. I mean, he's holding the reins and he's walking next to the horse, and he brings the horse over to me. And I see him and I think, you're so sweet, you know, because he just smiled at me. He didn't say anything, but he was very gentle, had a gentle aura or whatever. But anyway, so the horse bows its head. I don't know if he pulled the reins down or what, but the horse lowered its head and I was rubbing the top of its head and playing with its ears. And he let me do it. And I'm just this little kid. And I was just laughing. And I felt such happiness and joy playing with this horse and petting this horse. And I mean, this horse was huge. It was a big white horse. And the man was just smiling. And then he took the horse and he left. And I thought, you know, to myself, what a sweet guy, you know. And then we moved. So I didn't see him anymore after that. Well, to me, like I said, I didn't know. I thought he was just a person. It wasn't until after my near-death experience that he appeared again, actually. And he was with me for like 3 years.
Wow.
And he was teaching me so many things. And it turned out that I had gone to one of the Ions places and I was giving a talk about my near-death experience, and I brought the Gray Eagle story up. His name was Gabriel Gray Eagle. And he died in 1935. And that was the year my mother was born. She was born July 21st, 1935. He died June 13th, 1935.
Wow.
And what was interesting about that whole thing was that when he was coming to me, he was teaching me Native spiritual stuff, and he was teaching me practical Native things, you know, directions and what they mean, and birds flying certain place ways, and what does that mean, and how to find my compass was knocked off because of the lightning. I have no sense of direction whatsoever. So teaching me where's the east and the south and the north, because those are certain important directions. So he was teaching me that. And I wanted someone else to see him besides me, because I wanted to make sure that I wasn't losing my mind. And I requested to him, I said, can you please do this? Because at the time I was married to a man who was very abusive, and it was just horrific. And he kept telling me I was a nut job. You're crazy, you know, and I'm like, so two of my grandchildren saw him. My granddaughter saw him. She was upstairs playing in the bedroom, and I was downstairs cooking dinner. I had my head in the oven, you know, checking, stirring the stuff that was in there. And she comes running down, Grandma, Grandma, your Indian angel's upstairs. He knocked 3 times on the wall, and he wants to talk to you. And I lifted my head up, banged my head on the oven, you know. Yeah. I'm like, what? What? And she said, I said, did you see him? She said, yes. She said, I don't know who he is, but he said he wants to talk to you. And then she described him. I mean, to the scar he had on his arm from like a knife wound that he had had. And then my grandson, he still talks about it today. He's 18 now. Wow. And he actually talks about it. We were talking about it just the other day. He saw him out in the backyard, but Gray Eagle was afraid to move. He was afraid to say anything. He didn't want to scare Connor, because Connor was little. And so he was just like standing there, and Connor was just like standing there. And Connor sees things too, and he has, you know, all growing up. He doesn't right now because he doesn't want to.
Yeah.
But both of those kids have that kind of gift. And but anyway, the two of them were standing there looking at each other. And Connor said, "I'm out of here." He came running in the house and he told me about it.
Yeah.
I said, "You know, Connor, if you see him, he's not going to hurt you. He's a very nice person. Don't worry about it." And so then I had a friend who was an artist. And I asked Gray Eagle, I said, "Go to my friend and have my friend draw you, you know, if he can see you, you know." So my friend actually could see him. And I told him nothing about this man, nothing. And he drew a picture. And the picture has a white horse in it. It has an eagle coming out of the sky. And it was absolutely breathtaking. And it was a perfect likeness because Gray Eagle appeared to me younger. He's a younger version of himself. And also, when I was talking at the Ions talk, there was a man there who wanted to hear more about the Gray Eagle story. That's what he was interested in. So after the talk, we went off by ourselves and we talked for a couple hours. And I became friends with him and his brother. And both of them, which is interesting because Gray Eagle was Lakota. And the two of them, the two brothers that I had met, they go out to Pine Ridge every year. So they're very connected with everybody out there, all of the, you know, chiefs and medicine people and everybody. I mean, I don't know anybody out there, but they do.
Yeah.
And so there's they have a friend who's a historian. And when they told the historian my story, now what the historian, what he does is he collects artifacts. And if he can find the rightful owner, he returns the items to the family of the rightful owner. And if he can't, then the items go into a museum. Well, he heard my story and he called me on the phone. They'd given him my number. And he says, "I know who your Gray Eagle is." I was like, "What?" Yeah, I was in shock.
Yeah.
You know, because everybody talks about angels and everybody talks about spirit guides and all that. And I thought, to me, that's elusive. I want to know exactly who it is I'm talking to, you know?
Yeah.
Well, this man told me, and he sent me pictures of the man when he was alive. And he said, "I can tell by looking at this drawing who this guy is." And so he sent me all of those pictures. He sent me history. He sent me a picture of the 1930 census where he had Gabriel Gray Eagle. And then he signed the word head, which means he was the head of the particular, the band or the group that he was the leader of. And it turns out that he was Sitting Bull's brother-in-law. So he was actually born Oglala, but he married Sitting Bull's sister, which he married into the Hunkpapa tribe or nation. And he became a delegate. He went to Washington and he did all these really important things, and he tried to get Sitting Bull to go. There was a man named James McLaughlin who was I don't know what you'd call it, but Indian agent back in that, you know, 1800s, and he was trying to get all of, you know, everybody on the reservations. And Sitting Bull wasn't about to do that. That was no. And at one point, they'd gone to Canada. Excuse me. I allergies or something.
No worries.
So at one point they all went to Canada to get away from it all, but eventually, I mean, it was inevitable. So Gray Eagle was on the reservation. He took his people, they separated. Mm-hmm. And he went, took all his people to the reservation, and he was trying to get Sitting Bull to go to the reservation because it was either that or get killed.
Right.
And Gray Eagle was like, this is going to happen and there's nothing you can do about it. Mm. And yes, you want to stay the old ways, but you've got to do what the white men are saying or you're going to get killed. Mm. Basically was what it was. The day that Sitting Bull was killed, Gray Eagle had gone there to try and use his influence to once again talk him into it. Mm-hmm. Well, apparently, I mean, the military police or whatever they were called back then, they were all there. Somebody's gun went off, shot Sitting Bull. He died. Gray Eagle took Sitting Bull's wives to take care of them, wives and children, into his band and to take care of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, he was a very influential person. He was a spokesman for Standing Rock.
Mm-hmm.
And he's actually buried there right
mm-hmm.
now.
Mm-hmm. The fact that he came to you at such a young age and obviously stayed with you, did he ever announce the reason why he was with you? Was there any sort of exchange? Was he just watching over you?
Well, he was doing that too. I mean, he was like he was very, very protective because I was in such a bad situation. When I came back from my near-death experience, it was like my life was falling apart. Mm-hmm. I was not the person I used to be
mm-hmm.
at all. And, you know, when you get hit by lightning that many times, you change to the cellular level.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have a near-death experience, you change it everywhere else, you know. And
mm-hmm.
so I was so not the person. I mean, I was always scrubbing floors and doing laundry and cleaning, and everything had to be just perfect, you know, white glove clean to keep my ex happy. And it was like, I'm not doing that anymore. You know, there's too much beauty and that oneness I felt with God when I came back. It was just incredible. So he did not like that.
Mm-hmm.
So Gray Eagle became very protective because things were getting bad. And but he was a teacher and a mentor
mm-hmm.
and a protector. And not only that, but there was a deep, very, very deep connection. Mm-hmm. It was like a soul touching soul type connection between
mm-hmm.
us.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't figure that out because I never met the guy before until he showed up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I did when I was a child. But it turned out, I mean, he was my confidant,
mm-hmm.
you know, everything. He was just, I mean, when I was so depressed, I just wanted to die.
Mm-hmm.
He would literally, I mean, he was so strong of a spirit that he could manipulate physical objects. He could move chairs. He could open doors.
Mm-hmm.
I had been locked in, you know, I had to stay in the house or the backyard, and then the doors would, you know, the gate and everything, my husband would lock that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I couldn't get out.
Mm.
So it was like a virtual prisoner.
Yeah.
So Gray Eagle would show up and he would, I don't know how they do it, but somehow he could open a gate without using a key.
Yeah.
And he would take me for walks. You know, I'm like, how in the world did you do that?
Mm.
But it was incredible because he began teaching me. You know, because when I died, it was basically, you know, God was telling me, I don't make junk, I don't make mistakes, you're here for a reason, you're here for a purpose, and you are not what the world tells you you are, you are what I tell you you are, and, you know, I love you, and you have a reason, a purpose, And Gray Eagle was enforcing that. And he began telling me stories about what his people had gone through. Mm-hmm. And he would sing songs to me about, mm-hmm. he would sing the story. Mm-hmm. And I would cry and cry. And I'm like, what? Oh my God. And you know, the stories were filled with beauty and love and strength and courage. But yet there was deep wounds and pain and suffering. And it was like, in my mind, it was needless. It was so, you know, what is wrong with people? You know, people are people. And, you know, I kept saying to him, your traditions are so beautiful. Mm. And all they had to do was just listen to your elders, just listen. Mm. And they would have learned something instead of being afraid of it. And, you know, trying to take it away. Mm.
As we understand it today, it's interesting you said that, because with what's happening today, you know, with, as we say, the Great Awakening, or people waking up to a lot of what's going on, it's the spiritual awakening, isn't it? You know, in mind, body, spirit, everything that we are is an essence. You know, the planet, the earth, continues to evolve regardless if the humans do. But there is an energy that either pulls us toward that naturally, or we get forced into it. And, you know, this is what we're seeing. So it's interesting that, you know, even in that time when that was happening, and we've seen it happen time and time again, even me growing up in Brazil, you know, the indigenous tribes in you know, in the Amazon, there are places where people don't even go because, yeah, they just will never come out alive. But, you know, so they leave those people alone. But, you know, we've seen, you know, how the Amazon has been destroyed, and they're trying to build hotels and all sorts of things, not understanding that we're not here to just consume. We're not here just to build and make money. You know, money is a byproduct of exchange. It's not, there are no means of power. It doesn't actually, especially now, there is not backed by anything. Actually, doesn't mean anything. It's just a form of exchange of energy. And it doesn't surprise me that even people back then, or people who, you know, they say people in power, these people have no power unless we give it to them. But unfortunately, well, they were brutal around it. Yeah. And that's right. The difference, right? Is that, you know, it's, you know, as we're now seeing how these experiences come around, you know, where spiritual people, even now, there is, and the I guess the difference now is it's not just tribes. You know, this information is amongst millions and billions of us now who are waking up through near-death experiences, through spiritual awakening, through different practices, you know, whether that be, you know, shamanic, you know, breath work, plant medicine, whether it is near-death experiences, whatever it may be, it is now happening. And the difference between what you've been describing and now is that they can't stop it, because we have the power of podcasts, the internet, YouTube, Rumble, all of these places now, Spotify, you know, that allows people to knowledge share and share this information. So it's interesting. I wanted to sort of touch on that, because you really touched on an important point that I want to highlight to people. Listen to this carefully. These things, it's not the first time this stuff has happened, where people in power have tried to control others. And we talk about racism, we talk about color. It doesn't matter. This stuff has been happening for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. And this is the time, the moments now, as Sharon is describing, where this is no different. It happened back then. They tried to do it. In some areas they succeed, but eventually they fail. So they try something different. And it's powerful, isn't it? How, you know, even this spirit came to you to give you this story, this knowledge, and this message that I just wanted to jump in just to show people, look at how this even applies to what's happening today.
Well, he told me, he said, one of his messages And he shared with me some very stuff you can't find on the internet. It's word by word of mouth, you know, medicine man healing of his people and how that happened and what that was called. He called it bear medicine. And he said, and no, you can't, it's not what you find on the internet. I was like, oh my goodness. And he proceeded to tell me about what the medicine man did. He didn't tell me what the prayers were or anything like that. But he told me, you know, the medicine man put his hands on the person, said special prayers, pulled the illness out of the person into himself. Then he went out to this round stone medicine wheel. And he would do like stomp his feet, clap his hands, jump up and down, try to get that illness out of himself and into the earth. If that didn't work, he drank some kind of something to make himself throw up to get it out. But it, and well, I'd never heard of that kind of stuff. I'm not, but he shared with me some very deep things. And he did say there are people of many nations, many lands, is how he put it, that have been through horrific things. It's not just one group of people. He said it's everywhere. And he said right now there's too much division. Everybody is just, I'm this, I'm that, I'm this, I'm that. He said, no, you are a person first. You're a soul first. Then you are that. But as souls, we are all united. We are all one family. We're the human family. And there is no division. Division is just an illusion. Time is an illusion. This world is an illusion. These people who think they're in power, that's an illusion. Because and they just haven't figured it out yet. But they really don't have the power they think they do. But he was talking about that it's time for people to acknowledge the past, forgive the past, and move on, because people that are holding those hurts inside of themselves, wearing them like a badge of honor, is what he said. He said, it's only hurting the person that's holding on to it. He said, you can't change the past, but you can change its effect on the future. And so learning from the past, accepting, okay, yeah, my people did this. That's awful. And I'm really sorry. But then it takes forgiveness from the other side, you know. And but what he was trying to say is it's happened to everybody at one time or another. Throughout human history, it's not just one group of people. So he said it's time to acknowledge, accept, forgive. And he said that it's time for people to understand that we need to accept each other. Acceptance, tolerance, respect, honor, all of those things. And he said, what's honorable is letting it go. That's what's honorable. Because there's going to come a time when, he said, his people and other people are going to have to come together. We're all going to have to come together and bring those things that we have in common, celebrate those things, because we all have, there are certain things. And he said, and learn from each other those things that are different. You know, it's, it's important, because it's going to get to a point where we're going to have to learn from each other. We're going to have to lean on each other. We're going to have to support each other. And this group of people may have the answers to healing, you know, you, the breath work. Everybody has a gift.
Yes.
And we're going to have to bring those gifts together and learn how to live with each other. So that takes acceptance and tolerance and understanding and all of those things that he was talking about.
Unification, isn't it?
It basically, yeah. I mean, it's just, you know, and he said it's going to happen. Mm. And so he was telling me, I'm giving you this information. So now you can be the bridge of healing if you want to be. Mm-hmm. And that means talking to people and letting people know what his message was. Mm. Now, I've had people who hear this story and they say, oh, that was a demon you were talking to, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, a demon can't love the way he did.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. There's no possible way. And when he's talking about love and honor and acceptance and tolerance, that's not words a demon would, you know.
And take it from someone who has seen what you would call a demon, the devil.
Oh yeah, I'm too. And
yeah. It, trust me, what you just described there is not it. And let me throw this further, which is where people are so far from the truth. People have been removed so far from the truth. They don't know themselves at all, to the point where it's who we are. We are the good. We are the bad. It's within us. That's one of the things that it was shown to me. So I was doing a shamanic ceremony. And the shaman he didn't turn into the devil. There was no horns or anything like that, but he was energetically, he became that figure. And he was showing me, because interestingly enough, actually I have the pack of cards somewhere. It's their tribal cards. And the card that came to me was, interestingly enough, I think it was the eagle, which was observing from above. So watching. And I, something just said to me, whatever happens, just observe. There is a lesson in this. So I said, okay. So we went into the breath work. We went into a medicine and we were working. All of a sudden I came out. I woke up and I'm looking at the shaman. Some people are dancing. There were various different things happening and I'm staring at him. He's staring at me and the energy changed and it went dark and red. And all of a sudden, he's just staring at me. And it wasn't words exchanged. It was telepathically. And I looked at him and he looked at me and I said, oh, wow, are you? And he went, yeah. And I said, okay, why are you here? He said, I just want you to know who I am. Because I grew up around fear. I grew up, you know, there was fear that was passed down to me. Things that were installed, you know, through transgenerational trauma, so parents, grandparents, family members, people around us, religion, you know, all of these things, you know, oh, the demon, blah, 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 it's bad. So the first thing that came to me was fear. And I'm petrified thinking I'm going to be stuck in this room with the devil now for the rest of my life, not realizing that all he was doing is he was just showing me his presence and understanding that that energy exists. But right. what I came to realize later on down the line is the energy exists within all of us.
I don't mean to interrupt you, but that was one teaching that he did. And he used an eagle that was flying over my house. Mm-hmm. And I love eagles. And when I see an eagle, I'm jumping around like a little girl at Christmas time. So this eagle was flying over my house. It was a big one. Must have been a female, but he was talking about the dualities that are in this world, that are within us. There's good and there's not. There's light and there's dark. You know, so he was talking about these dualities and he used the eagle to explain that to me. There's the head and the tail are white. The body is brown, various shades of gray and brown and whatever. And he said, mankind has a way of making everything black and white, like the tail and the head. He said, but it's not just black and white. There are dualities within everything and within everyone. And he said, so you need to look deeply into whatever it is. and see the dualities within the person, within the situation, within the world, everything. And he said, the truth is often found within the shades of gray.
Yes.
It's not just black and white. It was so beautiful the way you said it. I can't do it the way.
Oh, but it makes complete sense.
It did to me too. And I thought, oh, okay. So we do have light, dark, and black and white, and we're not, but it's, we have a good side to us, and we have a shadow side to us, and we have to acknowledge that shadow side and do something about it. And you were talking about that the shaman turned into just evil or whatever thing. And I saw something very similar after my second near-death experience, and God was trying to teach me discernment, because there were spirits everywhere. And I thought they were all great. You know, they were all nice to me. And I felt like the little boy from The Sixth Sense, you know. And I was like, oh my God, I'm seeing dead people. And I got the splashing sign above my head that says, if you're dead, come to Sharon. So I couldn't, I mean, and everybody looked solid. I couldn't tell who, you know, it was almost like I couldn't tell who was dead and who wasn't, because everybody had bodies. And so I had to put up boundaries, but I didn't learn that. I didn't have a teacher to teach me that. So God actually did that.
Yeah.
And there was this man showed up. Well, it was one night of total, what I call, I mean, I was terrified the whole night. I was doing laundry, and this is in my book. I was doing laundry and just minding my own business. The guy I was married to was working that night at the plant here. And all I did, I mean, I went into the bathroom to put some towels away in the cabinet, and I saw these weird little minion-like things. And they, I mean, their skin was peeling off, and they had eyes everywhere. And I was like, oh my God, you know, they were coming out of the closet. I was like, oh, and I looked outside out the window, and they were crawling all over the house. I was like, okay, I'm losing it here. I'm crazy. I called the police. 3 times I called the police. They dutifully came out to my house with their flashlights, and they're looking around. I said, I don't know what these things are, but they're crawling all over the house. They probably thought I was some kind of loony bin. I had not taken any medicine. I wasn't on anything. It was, you know, I could see them.
Yeah.
And then the house started to smell like sulfur. And I could hear the house groaning. It was weird. And I thought, oh my God, I cannot handle this. So I called the guy I was married to at work, and I said, you got to come home. I said, something bad is happening in this house. Well, something bad was happening. I just didn't know about it. So he couldn't leave work, so he called. We had a neighbor a couple houses down. He was in getting ready to go back to Iraq. He was so I don't know what he was, sergeant or something. So he and his wife came over, and I literally climbed up the man. I was so scared. I was like, oh my God, I've never been that scared in my life. And he looked around the house, and she was with him, and they were together, and they're like, there's nothing here. I said, you can't smell that smell. And they couldn't. They didn't know what in the world was going on. So they left, and I thought, okay, I'm done. I'm done with this. I'm going to bed. So I took my two dogs to the kitchen, and I was going to let them out, and I opened the door. Well, we had this 8-foot privacy fence all the way around the backyard. The gates were locked, of course. I couldn't get in or out. There's a man standing there. And I'm thinking, How did you get in? Where did you come from? How did you get in there? Nobody can get in that. And he just stood there, and it was like he had a spotlight o over him. And his long hair was just blowing. There was no wind. I'm thinking, okay, watch that light. Why is your hair blowing? You know, he looked very beautiful. He looked very native. I don't know. He could have been anything. I don't know, but he was beautiful. And he's had a black leather coat on and white shirt, black pants, boots. He's standing there, and he just that light, whatever that light was that was on him, he looked beautiful. And then I was gonna let the dogs out. And I looked at him and he smiled at me. And when he smiled at me, it was like, oh God, no way. And I slammed the door shut. I had locked it. And then I started praying and I said, in the name of Jesus, go away. Everything stopped as soon as I said that. He vanished like that. The minions were gone. The house didn't smell anymore. It wasn't moaning and everything was normal. So I learned, you know, from my tradition, I guess, I learned what to say to make that stuff stop. But I was learning that not every spirit is good,
Yes.
and that evil can come in the form of beauty. It can be very seductive, and that's how we get sucked in without realizing it. That, you know, and so I didn't invite this into my house. I shut the door and prayed, and it went away. If I'd invited it into my house, it would have been bad. You know, but so I was learning that we, at times when there is evil presence, whatever you want to call it, just an evil spirit of some sort or a presence of some sort, if you start feeling depressed out of nowhere and oppressed, and there's a dark, heavy feeling, and you don't know where that's coming from, that you can do whatever, you know, pray to get it away, or you can, you know, whatever your tradition is, get rid of it. Because I learned that you don't have to give it a name. Whatever spirit of whatever it is that's here, go, get away. You know, you, if you, because you, I mean, you can tell. If you really think about it, you that do the breathing, and which Gregor taught me breathing, a breathing thing that you might find interesting. I thought it was interesting. I could stand in the snow barefoot. But I learned that when something like that happens, that's not a good presence, and I get, you know, get it away from me as quick as I can, because whatever it is using my brain, my mind is a battlefield. It's putting things in my head that's, if I start thinking negative thoughts or just out of nowhere, you know, that, so I don't even give it a name. I just send it away. And I use the words that I use. Other people may use other words, and that's all fine. But it was a learning that, like we talked about before, the dualities, the light and the dark. Well, I'd rather be with the light, you know,
And these are
that.
choices, aren't they? And this is the thing which I think a lot of people don't realize anymore because they don't really understand who they are. You know, this society over time, very slowly too, which is hard to distinguish until you actually really realize what's happened, has a very interesting and cunning way in getting people to use their free will to buy into something, to buy into a label, to buy into, you know, this is who I am. You know, in order for me to feel good, I've got to eat this. In order for me to look good, I've got to be that. In order for me to be successful, I have to earn this. And actually, none of those things actually matter, you know, in the grand scheme of things.
Exactly.
These things are, as you mentioned, this is all temporary. None of this actually, in fact, it doesn't even exist. It's just a dream, you know, it's just a dream.
It's like a virtual reality game.
Yeah,
and we
exactly.
can either make that virtual reality, you know, the land beautiful, the houses gorgeous, people, you could make your avatar just look like, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
You can do all that. You could make your life, this game that we're in, you can make your life beautiful, or you can make it not so beautiful. But you're right, it is about choices. And that's one thing that I learned from my near-death experience.
Yeah.
We have free will.
Yes.
And free will is real. And God's not going to take it away. He gives it to everybody. And he's not going to step in either. Because
yes.
if he does that, then he's taking away the gift that he freely gives, period.
Yes.
So he's, and that free will is the gift to, that gives us the ability to make choices, to choose to love him, to choose to live a good life, to choose to love others, because we can.
Yeah.
Not because we're being told to or anything else. We do it because we want to do it.
Yeah.
But we can also take it to the dark side, and we can be very selfish. And we can take away someone else's free will, our selfishness.
Yeah.
We overstep the bounds of our free will, taking away someone else's free will. You know, the children that are being taken, and, you know, the sex trade or whatever that is.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're taking those kids' free will away. And I learned that the opposite of love is not hatred. The opposite of love is selfishness. And hatred is born out of selfishness.
Yeah.
And when we do that, when we overstep our free will, we hurt someone else. That's a choice that we've made.
Yeah.
But we get to make those choices, but with every choice there's responsibility, and there are consequences for everything that we choose. And that the consequences are not punishments. It's not God punishing you. It's a natural law, you know, of the universe, a God-made law.
Yeah.
It is what it is. And if you go out and you steal or you kill, well, something's going to come back to you.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to go to jail. You might get killed yourself.
Yeah.
You know, there's consequences, good ones or bad ones.
It's the energy exchange, isn't it? Because everything that we do, I've heard it being said before, you know, that our mind, you know, our mind is the most powerful thing that we have. And we don't even know, you know, the power of it. I've discovered it in, you know, like I said, in shamanic work, in working with plant medicines. And like I said, I've hit source, you know, with some of my experiences, and I've had some incredible, beautiful, beautiful experiences, have learned some incredible things. I've had some very powerful, powerful downloads, and it has opened my mind further into truly understanding who we are, you know. And this is what I often try to say to people is, you are everything that you experience, down to the millisecond. Like every moment you are experiencing, you have created that, whether you chose that in your blueprint before you came here, or because you have free will, the things that you are creating. Your mind is a machine, and it creates, generally when you're out of this body, you can create things instantly here because the energy is denser. We are on a planet, things take a little bit more time. But it just requires action. But with the mind and the words, because words are spell, everything that you say, you are materializing in some form. And by form, I mean physical form, right? Because if you then take an action, and as you said about the positive polarity, which, as I've learned to understand, is love, light, and service to others. And that then leads to unconditional love, enlightenment, fulfillment, Christ consciousness, all of those wonderful things. And the negative polarity, which you touched on, you said about selfishness. The other word which somebody described to me was service to self, which is no difference, exactly the same thing. So if you choose to go down that path, whether you're being selfish or you're service to self, then this is where anger, resentment, fear, enslavement, control, whatever you, anything that goes under that umbrella, that's what you're creating. Now, is it right or wrong? No, it's an experience. You're choosing to have those experiences. But as Sharon said, with everything you do, the energy returns. So it's a loop. Everything that you put out, you will get back at some point, because it's just part of the have you ever seen, have you ever heard of the book The Law of One? It was basically a channeling by the Ra consciousness. And I think it's the Ra contact, the Law of One. I'll find out and I'll share it with you. Such a powerful book. A lot of the things that you described there has a lot to do with it as well. It's really, really powerful. And they talk about, so Ra, who's this sixth density complex, is a, I can't remember the exact terminology, but they're like a group consciousness. So it's a consciousness of different souls that come together. And their purpose is to teach humanity, like your guide that came through, like that shaman, to connect with individuals, to then download and share teachings, all of these powerful teachings that in turn we get to share that, to humanity. And this is one of the things I'm discovering, the more and more people I'm speaking to, is the messages that are being sent out, the books that I've read, interviews that I've seen, people that I'm meeting. The message is the same, people. It's exactly the same. The world you want to create is down to you. God isn't going to punish you. No one's going to come down and send you to hell. Hell is your current existence. You can either live in heaven or you can live in hell. That's exactly up to you. And that's what came to me when I met that energy, and he wasn't there to harm me. I said, are you going to harm me? Is something going to happen to me? And he went, no, I'm just here to show you that I exist, just to let you know that this is, this is what happens. Yeah. You can channel this. And I had I actually, at one point, I didn't feel scared. I was actually honored. I felt honored that this energy presented itself to me, that it showed itself to me, but it wasn't there to harm me, because that wasn't the point to, you can see it was a very powerful energy. And if it wanted to, I'm sure it could have taken me, into a very dark experience. But the second time round, because this has happened again, the second time round, it showed up again through the same shaman. But this time, I freaked out. I got scared. And what happens is, as you clearly described, when you saw that energy, you didn't attach to it. I attached to it and thought, oh man, am I now going to be stuck here with you for the rest of this ceremony? And what happens is, those energies, that lower level vibration, the way that they feed is just through energy. No one's sending you anywhere. It happens to you live. It happens to you in the moment. It happened to me in those journeys. And eventually, as I'm sat there, I did exactly the same thing as you did. I literally, the shaman came, I told him what had happened. And I remember, he's a friend of mine. And I said to him, he's like, are you okay? I said, no, I said, I need a little bit of help. And he's like, what is it? I said, you turned into the devil again. And he's like, all right. He came and sat next to me and he just held me. He just held me with two men. We just sat there together. And he's like, are you okay? And I said, yeah, I'm good. I said, I'm cool. And then he went off and he was making sure, because there was a group of us, and he was doing a work, and there were other people who were also sitters, who also men, came and sat with me, also friends, and they cared for me. But what happened in that experience? Love overcame fear. Eventually, because I opened myself to love, the love message came through and said, nothing can harm you unless you let it. Unless you allow that experience to harm you, that's the only way it will. So I said, okay, Let me put it to the test. You don't have power over me anymore, so you're not going to harm me. You must leave. Disappeared. And what did I learn from that? Because one of the things, the mis not mistake, the lesson that I learned from that was I tried to push it away. And later on down the line, another shaman, who was learning about the spiritual circle, so the north, east, south, you know, even the spiritual animals. So we were doing a workshop, and he said to me, someone came through to him and said, stop pushing your that polarity away, because you're not pushing an energy as such, you're pushing yourself away. You are blocking yourself from being your true essence. And you touched on it earlier on about the light, the shadow, the light or the dark, positive, negative. And you talked about that middle ground, which is the gray. You know, you have to allow both to come together in order for you to see who you truly are, because
Exactly.
one doesn't exist without the other, right?
Exactly. That's what Gregor was telling me. And so, and a lot of people are afraid. They're afraid to look deep inside. They want to see all the beautiful things, but they don't want to see all that other stuff. And it's like, but you have to, because when, and you need to better, you better be working on that negative stuff now. Because you don't want to take it there. You're going to have to work on it, whether you're here or whether you're there. And my experience was so beautiful. I don't, but I also realize from some of my other experiences, you can create your own hell. You can create what your fears are. The dark parts of us that we don't deal with are going to manifest. You have to face that these things, whether you want to or not, whether it's judgment, whether it's I got it was really funny. On one of my videos, someone was judging me because I'm obese. I actually said, "You're obese." And I said, I'm obese because I'm sick. It isn't because I eat too much. It's because I have physical problems and I'm doing the best I can and I can't do any, you know, this is, you know, and what I have will eventually kill me. And that's fine. But look deeper. You know, don't look at the, you know, if you think of this person was saying that I was ugly and I was fat and I was obese and all this kind of stuff. And I said, look deeper than that because I am not that. This is not me. And the message that I'm trying to give you're missing the message because you're looking at me and you're judging me based on what you don't like. So there's something in you that you need to figure out. It's not me. I bring it out in you, I guess, but you know, I know what it's like to be skinny and young and pretty, and I know what it's like to be older and heavy, and the world sees you differently. The world treats you differently. And
But that's a sickness in the world, isn't it? And
it
that's something
is.
that, you know, even through my own journey, I've had to learn to be mindful, to be very mindful, to be very open, to be kind. Because, like, I've been obese, you know, I've struggled with my weight growing up. I was bullied for it. And that's how I felt was before, is I hated myself. I hated how I looked. I hated the way that I felt about myself. And when people called me names, it really, I took the energy on. It really affected me.
It
But what
hurts.
happened, it really does. But here's where I made the mistake, is when I got older and I started to look after myself and I found the nutrition that works for me and I healed myself in mind, body, spirit, still judged other people and, you know, and didn't work at things in the right way. Do you see what I mean? And I've realized, and I continue to realize, that we have to understand the individual first and foremost. You know, we have to learn, as you said, you know, we have to learn what's going on for that individual. You know, we have to be mindful of our words. But this only happens when we can go within, when we can go and look at that shadow, at that dark side of us. Because people, this is where which is something that I find interesting, and I've been there myself, is we're very quick to pick and choose the things we want to work on. I'm very quick to go, oh, I don't want to look at that because, you know, that's going to make me feel uncomfortable. But I'm very quick to go and criticize someone for whether they're being overweight or whether they, you know, whether someone is saying something, whether they, you know, whatever it may be, you know, to make, you know, potentially make a negative comment on someone. And it's only when I was able to sit and look, and I'm not going to do it justice because I don't know it word for word, but I remember there is a line from the Bible when Christ is protecting, is it Mary, who's the prostitute, and they're about to, she's about to be stoned,
Yes.
and God says, or
Love that.
Christ
I love
says,
it.
that phrase, I'm not going to do it justice, but I'm pretty sure it goes along the lines of, anybody that hasn't committed a sin may throw the first stone. And no one does it, including Christ. Because it doesn't matter who you are. Every single one of us on this planet at some point has made a mistake. But what needs to be understood is you are no better, you are no worse than anybody else. And this is when the penny drops, when you truly realize it, because it is literally that simple. We're all equal. We're all equal. We all make mistakes. We've all struggled with our weight. We've all struggled with our self-confidence. We've all struggled somewhere down the line. But when someone triggers you, however that may be, it means that there is something inside you that needs to be looked at, that needs to be investigated. Don't be scared to look at those things, because when you do, that's when the miracle happens. That's when things change. Why? Because when you're able to do these things, what you're doing is you're healing a part of you that's stopping you from becoming the best version that you can be, right?
That's beautiful. That's true. And it's beautiful. You put it so beautiful.
Thank you. But this is how it is, you know, and we've got to be able to be mindful, especially online. Especially online, it's very easy for people to, you know, to hide behind a keyboard, you know, to hate and call people names. And I hated bullies when I was growing up. Even as an adult, I'm not a fan of bullies. I'd be very mindful about using the word hakes and how powerful that word is. I dislike people like that. So for me, it triggers me. It gets my back up. But what I've learned is, again, the lesson, when you open yourself to this stuff, you almost go, oh man, I can see it now. So it's almost like you humble yourself every time. Not to say that you become perfect, but you learn to humble yourself every time. Even the bullies have been bullied. So at some point, everybody has been hurt. And this is the lesson. This is when we are all able. This is what Sharon's been talking about, the things that she's discovered. We haven't even touched on her near-death experience yet, people. But when you realize that we are no different, we all suffer, we all cry, we all struggle, we all go through pain. But the more you throw this pain and this hate out, the more you keep receiving it. And if you just do something, which took me years, years and years and years to ask, is help. Ask Christ for help. Ask God for help. Ask a friend for help. Ask Sharon for help. Instead of criticizing, instead of calling people names, say, be vulnerable, because no one's going to hate you when you're honest. People will love you more. because they see your pain, they see your truth, they see your vulnerability. And that is one of the most powerful energies that is out there. Unconditional love is one of them. Forgiveness is another one. But being humble, being vulnerable is just as powerful, because what you do is you open yourself up completely and say, help me. And you will be surprised by the amount of people that will come to your rescue, including us. You can call me all the names under the sun, but you tell me you need help, I'll say, what can I do to serve? And no doubt Sharon will do the same, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm one of those people that if you ask me for my shirt, I will give you my coat too. You know, words have so much power. Words, it's incredible, because people's words can either make a soul or break a soul. And you may not know the effect that you have on another person. It was after my near-death experience. It was a few years ago. I was at the doctor's office getting a prescription. So I'm sitting in the waiting room to get the prescription. It's for my daughter. So I'm just sitting there, and I see this older gentleman, and I hear, go talk to him. And all of a sudden, it was like I had all these visions of, he was a Vietnam vet. He had was like 19 when he went to Vietnam, 18, 19. He had no idea what he was there for. He had killed some people, but the only reason, and he felt horrible about it, and the only reason that he did was because his commanding officer told him he had to. You know, so this man, all this stuff was coming to me, and I'm like, I don't know this guy from Adam. Where is this stuff coming from? So I did what I was told, go talk to him. So I went up and I talked to him, and I told him, you know, everything you did because you were told to do it. You didn't know why you were there. It's okay. And because of your sacrifice, I'm free. And I honor you, and you're my hero. And even though you didn't get a hero's welcome, you deserve one, just like the people from 9/11 and how they all got hero's welcomes. And, you know, the soldiers that come back from wherever, now they get all this, you know, parade and whatever. I told him, you deserve that and more. And if I could give you that, I would. But I want you to know, and I'm thanking you, and I want you to know that I honor you. And because of you, I, you know, your sacrifice, it meant something. So he went into his appointment, and I went and sat back down. And he came back out about a half hour later. And he said, can I talk to you a minute? And I said, yeah. So we went over and started talking again. And he said, I had planned on killing myself today. And he said, because of what you said, I'm not going to do that now. I started crying like a baby. I was like, oh my God. And I reached up and I just put my arms around his neck and just, you know, hugged him as tight as I could. And he wrapped his arms around me and hugged me back. And he had tears in his eyes. And it was like, I said, I just love you. You know? And he went to his car, and I was heading to my car, and I heard him whistling. He was whistling a song as he went to his car. And I thought, he was going to take his life. And now he's whistling a happy tune, you know. So words have so much power.
Yeah.
And it was like, he just needed to hear that he was appreciated.
Yeah.
and that he was honored and respected, and you know, and it was just like, oh my God, how amazing! I thank you, whoever was that told me to do that, you know.
Yeah. And these things often come, you know, but we ignore them. We put our fear and ego first. Oh, what's people going to think? A lot of the times, no one cares what you think, you know. But it's connecting with something like that that could completely change someone's life, completely change someone's life, you know. Because, you know, we you're talking about with your guide about, you know, his land being taken, and I remember. I saw a story of a lady. I think she was either a black lady or she was mixed race. But she discovered that her ancestors, she was mixed. So I think it was her ancestors or something like that, actually slave owners. And she was massively humbled by it. And something, I saw something online, because obviously these things are happening a lot at the moment, you know, what gender you are, pronoun and color and all sorts of things, which again, all of these things are all devised to keep people separated, this, all of this stuff. But more importantly, people, listen to this, it's also designed to separate you from you. The more you're trying to, because what, and this is the lesson behind all of this stuff, the reason you are attaching to these things is because you don't know who you truly are. You are trying to find an identity, but instead of going within, you go externally trying to find something that you think suits you now. And then eventually when that expires, which it will, and it does, you will then change it. And we've seen it so many times when someone goes from being a, I don't know, a she, her, and then to they, them, and then all of a sudden they turn into a cat, and then all of a sudden it's a dog, and then all of a sudden it's something else, and you're seeing this craziness. But this is the message behind that, is because you're seeking something externally, you're missing the beauty within. So to my point, one of the things that was shown to me, because I often try to kind of just go within, find a bigger wisdom and go, show me the answer to this. Why is this happening in the world? So I ask about, you know, these, for example, the pronouns, all of this stuff that's happening. People just want to feel a part of something. So the number one thing is people want to find community. So before it was tribes, we lived in small tribes, and tribes then became bigger, and all of a sudden became communities, and then towns and cities, so on and so forth. So we're not meant to be alone. But here are the things that are being destroyed. Couples, marriages, men and women. You, as a man and as a woman, you are the most powerful thing second to the creator that creates you. Why? Because you create life. The beautiful woman that's here with me today, she births life. And we often laugh, I often laugh and say, if God was to be anything, if the creator was to be anything, would be a woman, because women birth life, right? But the thing is, women cannot create life without the man. So there has to be this unity. There has to be this connection. And the fact that people being stripped just from that, the most simple thing, just who you are as an individual, man or a woman, which is what you were created perfectly, perfectly. This is who you truly are. All of a sudden, we're now interested in the color of your skin. Why does that matter? Because this is what happened to us in the past. Remember, you touched on earlier about, you know, the past being a past. A lot of the stuff that people are worried about now didn't even happen to them. It happened to their ancestors and other people 200-300 years ago. Now, here's the spinner. Because we incarnate through life, because we're here to experience infinitely, I often say to people, and I have said it before, how do you know that you weren't a slave owner yourself? Because I know I was black once. I know that my wife and I lived in a tribe together. I was a man. She was my dad. Not only that, my current wife now and I also lived in a past life where I lived in America. I was a little girl who was being abused by her father. She was my best friend. And we both died in a fire in a school. So when you understand these things, like when you get to know who you truly are, you've got to understand that these stories that are being carried into your present, which is only now, Nothing else exists. Israel and Palestine. What the hell is all that about? What is Ukraine and Russia all about? What were all the
It's a
previous wars about?
mystery.
It's all history that has nothing to do with us. These things get regurgitated and regurgitated over and over and over again to suit one plan, is to keep us divided every single time. Your color doesn't
That's
matter.
exactly what Gray Eagle was saying. Exactly what he was saying. You are just amazing.
Oh,
That's
thank you.
exactly what he was saying.
So this is it, right? So the messages are clearly the same. So understand that what we need to do more and more is go within, discover who you truly are, remove all the labels and remove your name, remove your job title, remove your worth, remove everything, because this thing that you stare in a mirror is temporary. As I understand, it's temporary. It's no different than this jumper that I'm wearing. It's no different than that top that Sharon's wearing. It's no different. Eventually, it will go back to the earth where it belongs. The earth is alive. Everything that we touch and we breathe and we smell and we see, we're created because of it. And once our time here is done, because as Sharon said, this is just a game, it's a school. And this is not the first time this has been said. We will continue on. But the most important thing that the world is trying to teach us now through the chaos is for us to be able to see that it has to stop. It
It
has to
does.
stop because the
Absolutely.
house of cards are falling and these people are trying to push this game. It's just a different game. They're trying to push these agendas and just these different scenarios to keep you from truly realizing who you truly are. Because there's something ticking in a lot of people's minds now, which is why they're becoming more interested in near-death experiences, in spirituality, in shamanic work, in doing ceremony, in plant medicine, because they're going, surely working until we're 75 is not why we're meant to be here. Surely would
Oh
I,
no, this is not all there is.
right?
This is
But
totally not all there is. You wait till you see the other side.
Oh,
Oh
and
my
this is
goodness.
what we're going to get to. So people bitch and moan and complain about the color of their skin and all racism. My friend, I've got all sorts of different mixes where I'm in Brazil. My family, all sorts of different mixes. So when people start talking to me about racism, I'm like, don't even start. As even before we started recording, I already told you, my background is beautiful. I have this beautiful mix of cultures. Even now, I have a beautiful mix of cultures in my family, and I'm so grateful for that. And thankfully, in my circle, because of the energy that we're at, none of this bullshit even comes through. But here's what I want to say to people before we dive into Sharon's NDE, because I really want you guys to see this as well, because it all matches into this. When you're talking about being a slave, working until this time, what happens to your ancestors? Really sit with yourself and ask yourself this question. How are you any different from slaves then who were working for free? So they actually had it worse off than you. So this is actually had nothing to do with you. But what you've done is you are stupid enough, including me, stupid enough to buy into a system that now makes you work until you're 65, 75, and some people work until they drop dead because they can't afford to retire.
Right.
70% of your money goes to taxes that funds everything that makes all of these people money, yet you don't get a penny back from that. These are all your investments. Now tell me that you're free. Oh, and let me just finish on this. All the food, the animals, the plants, the vegetables, everything that you can think of, the earth provides for free. Electricity, gas, energy, everything, the oil, everything is free. Yet you
Right.
have to go into a shopping center or you have to go into a supermarket and you are being told that you have to pay X amount for it.
Oh
Whereas,
yeah, you even now pay for fresh air. Really? I mean, come on.
this is what I mean.
That's
So,
what one of the things that Gray Eagle said too. He said, "No, the earth belongs to no man." He said that the Great Spirit has provided enough space, enough food, enough resources for every soul he has put on this earth. And then he started talking about living the sacred way, which means if you kill an animal, animals are put here for people to eat. That's what they're put here for.
Yes.
But we're supposed to honor and respect that animal. If you kill that animal, you eat that animal. You don't hang it on your wall.
Yes.
You, whatever plants you, if you happen to like salad or greens or whatever, and whatever's green growing outside, take only what you can eat and leave the rest for the next person.
Yes.
I mean, he was very emphatic about all of this. And I wrote down everything the man said. So I'm doing a book right now. It's Song in the Wind Part 2, because I had two more near-death experiences after that one.
Wow.
You know, after that book was published.
Yeah.
But people wanted to hear the Gray Eagle story in depth. Deepness of it, what he said, what did he do, how did he move, what was his voice like. You know, they wanted to know about, explain the love that you two had. And someone wanted me to make it a romance book, and I said, I can't do that, because it wasn't that kind of love. I mean, it could have been, but it wasn't. You know, it was deeper than that. It was bigger than that. And I said, and besides, how do you do that with a ghost anyway? You know? And so I told him, I said, I cannot, you know, I'm the kind of person that I tell the truth. I don't make stuff up. So it's like, I'm not going to put smut in a book that this man's living. He's got living relatives and I honor and respect him. I'm not going to say anything that he, you know, and besides, I love him. You know, he's in my heart, even though he's not here anymore, present. He will always be in my heart. But I did tell him, I said, you dump all this on me and you leave. When I die the final time, I am going to find you and I'm going to punch you right in the face. And then I'm going to hug you and kiss you. I said, just explain everything before you leave. But I've said that so many times.
our spirit guides have a wicked sense of humor. they have a wicked sense of humor. Sharon, tell me about your, we've been talking for a little while now, and I'm conscious of your time. But I really want to hear about your near-death experience, and just understand them. I don't know if you want to condense all four of them into one, you know, or just I mean, I want to sort of leave it to you, but because I know obviously you've been through quite a lot, and you know, you've had some incredible experiences. Just share that with, you know, with the audience, because what was the experience? I know, because you've been through four of them, we can do a second version of this where we can go into it in loads of detail. But just to, I guess, highlight the most important things that you've learned with everything that we discussed, which has been so powerful, that can really tie in to what we've shared with everybody today. And I'm sure that we'll, you know, that will come to you. But talk to me about that near-death experience, because it's obviously changed you and it's done some beautiful things for you as well. But what was the sort of the experience?
Okay. The first one happened at the age of 13. I drowned while taking swimming lessons. Had no idea what had happened. It was so traumatic for my mom to see me drowning. I'll just make it quick. I saw the beautiful light. I'm laying under 10 feet of water and I see this beautiful light, and it kept getting bigger, 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 bigger. I don't know if I was going up to it or it was coming down to me, but I could feel that warmth and that love. And I always thought, you know, when you're drowned, you're laying on the bottom, you're dead, you know, you'd be cold.
Mm.
I was so warm and so comfortable. I was like, oh, I love that light. And I could see my mom's face as if, and she was clear on the other side of the pool where the parents were. And I could hear her screaming. I could hear other people screaming. I heard one of the lifeguards or the teachers or whatever they were, in the end of the pool where the babies were. She was teaching them. I heard her scream the name of the guy who was taking care of me, or our group. He's the one who threw me in the water. And I heard her say, Bob, go in and get her. And I mean, how do you hear all that under 10 feet of water? How do you see what's going on around you under 10 feet of water? It was like my soul had left my body and was kind of hovering. And that's how I was able to see everything. A lifeguard in the middle section, the 5 foot section, he's the one that had to jump in and save me. He did the CPR and everything. The guy who actually threw me in the water and was our teacher, he's frozen. He couldn't move. My mom was just terrified up in the balcony with the parents. She was screaming, and I could see her face. I could see the look. Then I heard what sounded like a metal door slam, and it echoed. And that's when I slammed back in my body, and I could feel the pain. I could feel the, you know, the water. I just, you know, that feeling. I couldn't, well, he was doing CPR and I had just come to.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but I was okay after he did what he did. I was okay. But we never talked about it. My mom didn't talk to me about it. I didn't talk about it either. I didn't know what it was. I didn't know how to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
I was only 13.
Mm-hmm.
So that happened. Then in 2005, I went through, over a period of years, I had been struck by lightning four times. So twice was ball lightning and twice was lightning bolts, actually. Yeah. And the fourth bolt, and basically God was trying to get my attention and I wasn't listening because I was in this really bad relationship. And
what a way to do it.
I know. The moral of the story there is when God's talking, you better listen.
It's
because
yeah.
No, he will turn up the volume until you do.
Oh, I know.
So
oh, wow.
It was crazy because I actually had to die to be in front of God for God to tell me, you are not what the world tells you you are. You are what I tell you you are. You are what I made you to be. You don't listen to the world. Listen to me. And, you know, the trauma and all of that was, you know, it's huge. And he was just trying to, you know, help me to understand that I wasn't all those things that people tell me that I am. I'm not that. So after we had our conversation and we sat on a log together, I could see him. And people say, well, it's in the Bible, blah, blah, blah. You can't see God without dying or burning up or whatever. I said, look, you know, God can do anything. Don't put him in a box. Okay. Don't limit him. He holds every star in the sky and he knows every name and he knows every hair on your head. So don't put him in that little teeny box and tell me that my story's not true because the Bible says this or that or this. I said, God can do anything and he doesn't have to do the same thing twice. But this is what he did. Believe it or not, this is what he did. So I did see him, or the face he wanted me to see.
Yes.
You know, He can appear as anything he wants. He created it all. And if he had showed up as a burning bush, I just got struck by lightning. I would have run the other way. Or a goat with three heads or whatever, you know. It's like, so he showed up as a beautiful man with a very fatherly personality. And I saw Jesus, and it was like, this is man I saw was an older version of Jesus. And I was like, oh, that is so cool, because I could see the two separate identities, and yet they were like, your son is an extension of you.
Yes.
And he carries your DNA. And that's what it was. I could see that connection.
Yeah.
And so, but everything I saw was so beautiful. I mean, I saw buildings and other people. I met my two brothers who had died as babies.
Oh, wow.
And they were just so beautiful. They looked just like my dad when my dad was a young man. And I kept saying, Dad would be so proud of you.
Yeah.
And my dad just passed away. So I know he's now with his beautiful sons.
Yeah.
So, so that whole experience, it'll take 2 hours to explain, but it was very, very deep. And I learned a lot. That's when I learned about what you put out comes back, the boomerang effect, that it's not a punishment. It's a choice. There's just so much I learned. Then coming back and the gray eagle thing. And I learned so much from that. And your shaman would understand a lot. I mean, there's a lot to tell. Then the third near-death experience happened 1 month after my book was published.
Wow.
It happened in November of 2016.
Yeah.
I had a valve blockage and I had to have emergency surgery, and I died. The breathing tube. I aspirated on the breathing tube. And when I finally did come back, I had double pneumonia. But I was, and what happened is I actually went back to the same place I went to when I was in my second near-death experience. But it was from a different perspective. And I saw all kinds of people. So, I mean, every color, every size, every race, every tradition, they were going into heaven through the gates of heaven. So it's not, heaven isn't just for white people or black people or, you know, there's, it's heaven is for everybody.
Yeah.
We're all God's children. We're all, you know, that's the oneness, you know. So then the fourth one happened a year later. It happened in December of 2017. I have seizures from the lightning strikes. And I was in the hospital and had an adverse reaction to some medication. And I died from respiratory acidosis. And I went to what I call the void. And I used to, because I was in all of the groups on Facebook and whatever, and people were talking about the void, I wasn't scared of death. I was afraid of the void.
Right.
And I went there and it was not scary. I mean, I suppose you could make it scary if you wanted it to be scary. You know, if you let your fears take over, it would be scary because it's perfectly dark.
Yeah.
You know that there's other souls around. I didn't care. I was wrapped in this beautiful, soft black blanket. And it was like, I'm happy here. I was curled up in this little fetal position, you know, and I'm staying in this blanket. And I could look, if you look through fabric at a light, you can see the little specks of light. Well, I saw that and I thought, are those stars? Well, what is that? And I thought, they're pretty, but I like it better in the dark. I like it better. It's warm. It's cozy. I needed rest. I was at a point in my life where my health conditions were so severe that I was very, very tired of fighting just to live, you know, and it was like, I'm done. I'm out of here. And God was just holding me in his hands. He's huge. He's gigantic. He is genderless. He is spirit. So he has no shape or form unless he chooses to take form. I call him God. Other people call him whatever they call him. And he doesn't care about that. Yeah. It's okay. Call him whatever you want. But in my tradition, we call him God. So to me, I could feel his hands. And I'm this little thing in his hands. And he's huge, huge. And he's holding me. And he didn't care that I was that. And heavy. He was just holding me there, you know? And I wanted to go. I was ready to go. And he said, no, just let me hold you. I love you. I know you're tired. I know you want to go. I know. But we need to think about this. We can't make a rash decision here. Let's just think about this. And I'm going to hold you. And you're okay. Just rest. And I have no idea how long I was there. I mean, I could only been there a minute, but it seemed like I was there for a very long time, just laying in his hands in that beautiful black blanket. And then the next thing I know, I feel like I'm being sucked down like a vacuum cleaner, just sucking me down, down, down. Like it was three downs. I know that for sure. And the next thing I know, there's a light in my eyes and this doctor standing over me, screaming at me. And they got this thing on my face and, you know, pressing the ball. And it's like nurses are running around and it's like, oh, my God, could you shut up and turn the lights out?
It's like, damn it, I'm back here again.
I know. And I thought, God, I've died four different ways, four different times, and you have kicked me out. What is wrong with you? Do I smell bad? Do I have bad breath? that's just very quick.
You just got way too much positive energy and love to share, Sharon. That's what it is. It's like you've just got too much to share, girl. You've got to come back and you're going to keep sharing that love because the world needs to hear it. That's why.
Thank you. Well, I told him, I said, next time I'm not. If there's a fifth time,
just hold on to him because, if I'm coming back, you're coming with me. Well, fingers crossed, it's not going to happen again. Let's pray that it continues to be a flourishing and abundant and beautiful life until it is that time, you know, because it comes for all of us, right? And you know, you've been doing some incredible work. You know, you've got such a beautiful energy, a beautiful smile. You know, you can really, really see that shining through you. And you know, I really, really hope that you can continue, you know, sharing your message and your energy with us, because it's people like you, you know, that show us what's possible. You know, and I'm so grateful that I've got to spend this time with you, and you know, and to get to know you a little bit more. Although it's a short space of time in the grand scheme of things, I feel like I've learned so much from you already, and I hope that we can do it again.
Thank you.
Yeah, I really do. Where can people find you, Sharon? If people want to connect with you, if they want to just share loads of love with you, and you know, and be grateful to you being here, where can they find you?
Well, I have a Facebook page. They can find me on Facebook. I have a blog page, and I just forgot what it was. That's a blonde thing. And I am totally blonde and proven. I can walk right into a wall, trip up the stairs over nothing.
Oh, my wife's exactly the same. Blonde hair, baby blue eyes. She has the smallest, most beautiful feet in the world, but it hits everything. I always say
I
to her,
broke my toe once, my baby toe, and every time I walk through a doorway, bang. Oh my God, I just
she
broke it
does the
again.
same. It's exactly the same.
Didn't dawn on me to put on shoes.
Oh, that's brilliant. But share your details with me. I know that people can find your book on Amazon. So please let
Yeah.
me know. I have the details that you sent me, and I'm going to put that on the description. But people
I have a
go find.
children's book too.
Do you tell us all about it, and
Yeah.
where can they find it?
It's called A Rose from Heaven. It's on Amazon too. And it's talking about this little girl, and she has a near-death experience. It's my experience as, but it's from a child's point of view, you know. And the lady who did the drawing, the artwork, she's amazing. Bethany Kerr is her name. And it was such a, at the time, I was told there weren't any other NDEers who had made a children's book, and I wanted to help children understand what death is, because I had, you know, I had taken care of both of my parents, and my mom had Alzheimer's, and I was her caregiver for 6.5 years, and I was with her when she died. I stayed on and took care of my dad for 1.5 years after that. And he got remarried. And then his wife died. And I moved here the next day when I found out that she had passed away. I was over here and I was like, I'm taking care of you. You are not going to be here by yourself. Well, lived here almost a year and he died. And it was very quick. It was shocking to me. It's still shocking to me how quick. And I watched him die. And it was very different than my mom, but even though I know where they are, I'm human. I'm still here in
Of
this
course.
physical world. And I really miss them. And so even though you have near-death experiences, you mourn just like everybody else.
Of course.
So I'm sort of in that mourning period right now.
Yeah.
But if I hadn't had my near-death experiences, I don't think I would have been able to handle them being gone. So that was a gift. You know, that was truly a gift.
Because we know, don't we, that it doesn't end. It just it
That's
continues, and death is not something which anybody needs or should fear, because when you do discover who you truly are, as you said, you're almost like, this is going to be the last time. If I'm going to go, I'm going to go, because you're going home.
You
This
are.
isn't
You
home.
are.
This isn't
And
home.
you have body and you can move around and you know, I was a better version of me. I saw myself. I looked down in front of me and it was like, this is so cool. I'm like, if this is death, I can do this, no problem. You know. It was just wonderful. So I mean I hold on to that with my parents just gone now. But it's amazing. It really is. And what's inside of us, that's who we are. And that special part of who we are, we take with us. And we, that's
Oh, there you
what in the world?
was that?
I have no idea. I didn't do anything.
Oh, there you go. You guys will have to see this on video if you're listening on audio. Sharon was just talking, and literally fireworks just exploded behind her out of the blue.
Yeah, and I didn't touch anything. I'm sorry.
That's brilliant. Oh, I love that. There you go. There you go.
That's a God thing. So
There you
whatever it
go.
was I was saying, which I have no idea, you have to back it up and listen.
Oh, Sharon, if you had a message, let's say your final words of wisdom, as I like to say, what would you like to share with the world?
Whatever you do in life, however big or small the act is, do it with love. Whether it's laundry, picking up cigarette butts, or talking to an amphitheater of 20,000 people, do it with love. And I learned from my having my life review that it's small things that matter. Those are the that's what matters the most. The words of love, friendship, the hand on the shoulder, giving to the poor, and doing it with no strings. You know, whatever they do with it, that's on them. But if you give to someone out of love, it's huge. People don't have any idea how big that is, but we could change the world. If you do that, and I do that, and the next person does that, we are changing this world one little spot at a time. And eventually it'll catch on, and it'll be all these different places have changed because we love. And one of the things that I learned was that God, or whatever name people use for him or her or it, whatever the proper term is, we are loved so much beyond, I mean, just totally, it would blow your mind if you knew. I tell people he thinks about you every single second of every single day. And if he didn't think about you, you would cease to be as if you never were. So you know how much you're loved because he can think about you every moment of every day. He can think about me. He can think about this person over here or this person over here. And he can do that all at the same time. And don't listen to the world. I learned that. That's it. It took me four lightning strikes. So don't let that happen to you.
No.
Listen, God is trying to talk to you. He'll give you signs, or he'll talk in your ear, and his voice is very quiet, so we have to quiet ourselves and listen. But oh, I was oblivious. Don't do that. And it doesn't matter what other people think. It doesn't matter what other people say. What matters is what God thinks. And you are not this. There's a very beautiful, special part of you in here. And consciousness, people think, is up here. It's not up here, it's in here. And so I tell people, get out of your head and get into your heart. And just love, just love. That's the purpose of our life here anyway.
It
We
truly
learn
is.
lessons, but the purpose is to love. So
Every
that's it.
single experience is, every experience leads us to love. And it's very true. Very, very true. Sharon, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much. Honestly, you're such a beautiful energy, a beautiful soul. I wish you nothing but success, abundance, and love and light. And thank you for spending this time with me today. Thank you.
Oh, you have been amazing. And I
Thank you.
feel that beautiful energy. And can I talk to you for a minute after?
Yes, of course.
Okay.
Absolutely. All right.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure. And let's do it again. So listen, guys, connect with Sharon. I'm going to share all the details. Go to her Facebook page, support her, message her, go to Amazon. check out her book. So I'm definitely going to check out that children's book. I have a little daughter, 5, as you guys know, and I'd love to read that to her because she loves all of these things. She's also very connected. Both my daughters are very spiritually strong women. Which is amazing. So have an amazing day, and I will see you guys in the next episode. Take care.
Thanks for listening. And if you want to find out more about how you can overcome issues caused by mental health, go to alexdasilva.co.uk. That's www.alexdasilva.co.uk. See you on the next one. Be great, be fantastic, and be absolutely phenomenal. Take care.